but it is Cristiano Simonetta. He's the voice of Illini Hockey. He writes for Last Word on Sports about the St. Louis Blues, and that is the first round matchup for the Chicago Blackhawks. They start game one Wednesday at 8:30. Cristiano, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Joey?
Good. Thanks for jumping on. I'm just feel so silly that we haven't had you on since Illini hockey season or during, but I guess, you know, we just take Kevin for granted and we go, he'll talk Illini hockey.
What if PTU's
so,
very
so
own?
If he does a bad job, just we'll kick him out and then you can come on.
All right, cool. I guess your job isn't as safe now that I'm here, so head-to-head matchup.
That's a little scary.
There we go.
So looking in this matchup, do the Blues finally have enough to I know it's a tough question to start, but do they finally have enough to get past the Hawks?
You know, we always think that every single year. They always put up over 100 points, and they're one of the only teams in the past 5 years that have such a repertoire of success from October to April. But for some reason, and there's so many reasons, whether it's goaltending, not timely scoring here, they have the amount of roster players that know how to put the puck in the net during the season, but they just fall flat. Going into this season, though, they have a new leadership core. They have a new trio of rookies. You have Colton Parayko, Joel Edmondson, and Robbie Fabry. And Ken Hitchcock has done a terrific job of coaching this club, one of the most injured teams in the National Hockey League in terms of potential success going towards Paul Stastny, Jaden Schwartz, the list goes on, guys that have been out of the lineup, and they still ended up second in the Central Division. So we really don't know if they have enough until Wednesday night and perhaps farther down the schedule.
And despite all those injuries, Cristiano, obviously they had a guy between the pipes that really carried them, excuse me. Brian Elliott had a great season in net, but he has, I would say, struggled to say the least in past postseason performances. What are you expecting from Elliott in this series and just the Blues defensively as a whole as they have to take on a very tough Blackhawks team?
Well, they're a more active defense core. You look at Colton Parayko, guys that are mobile, but they're also over 6'3" each. Colton Parayko is 6'6" out of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, 21 years old, his first NHL season. You look at guys like Kevin Shattenkirk, Alex Petrangelo. They got rid of Barrett Jackman in the offseason, who was a bit of a letdown after he aged, of course, 34 years old. He went on to play for Nashville. But Brian Elliott, he's their guy right now. Due to a law of averages, because Jake Allen got hurt in the middle of the season. Brian Elliott got hurt in the latter portion of the season, but now it's Elliott's team. He's 13-1-2, I believe, in his last 15 decisions, and that's incredible, and that's what you need going into the playoffs, especially against a high-powered offense like the Chicago Blackhawks. You look at Panarin, you look at Kane. We're going to talk about them, obviously, in a little bit. The Art Ross winner and probably the Calder Trophy winner coming up against your team, Brian Elliott's going to have to be tall in net. His last postseason, he had a 1.9 goals against average against the Los Angeles Kings. It's been over 1,100 days since he's suited up for a postseason start, but I think he's earned it.
So it's easy to talk about this series as a whole, obviously, but first we have to talk about Game 1 because that's a heck of a lot different than the other six potential games because the Blackhawks are missing their guy on defense, Duncan Keith. I feel like everyone in the world has heard about it now, but Duncan Keith just slashed the crap out of Charlie Coyle's face. What was that, 7 or 8 games ago? He got suspended for the first game of the postseason, has been suspended since then. So with Keith missing and, you know, the Blues at home, how important is Game 1 for St. Louis, and what do they have to do to win that game?
It's incredibly important because you look at the Blackhawks the past 6 seasons, since 2010, games 5 through 7, they're 13-3, I believe. They've only lost a couple of games in those, and two of them came against the Los Angeles Kings in 2014. So they're a team that if you don't take advantage of in the early portions of the series, you're going to be in for some trouble. For the Blues in that first game, you have to win the special teams battle because they were 2-for-29 against the Blackhawks 2 seasons ago in the postseason. You can't have that many opportunities against a team of that defense, and Corey Crawford is coming to his own. I'm one of his biggest critics. But the Blues have to get some goals past them, and it's always the question, can they do it at the right time? All the wheels are in motion, but we still don't know. But for them to succeed here, especially in the first 2 games, they need to take them both going to the UC on Sunday.
And you mentioned Corey Crawford, and he got to play in the season finale, but before that it was almost darn near a month before he got any action in the net. So how important is it that the St. Louis Blues just go after him and just consistently test him, test any little bit of rust he still might have, and just get those pucks to the net?
Well, I'm not sure if you're going to have that much wiggle room with Corey Crawford here coming into his own. He's had such a great season. He's probably going to be a Vezina finalist, Braden Holtby's obviously going to take that trophy with 48 regular season wins, tied Martin Brodeur just a week ago for the most wins in a season. But going back to Corey Crawford, he's a lot more mature than I thought in his past few seasons, especially in the 2013 season against Boston in the Stanley Cup Final. He stole two or three games in that series. He's got the hardware. He didn't necessarily shine too much in last season's postseason due to the fact that the Hawks had such a stranglehold on their defensive core that there was barely any offensive chances generated against the Blackhawks. So Corey Crawford didn't necessarily need to be on top of his game. He will need to, though, against St. Louis, who, like I said, they've put pucks in the back of the net this season, which is a great sign as opposed to the couple of postseasons in the past.
And you mentioned the depth that the Blues have at defense earlier in the show. You also mentioned those two guys that play for the Blackhawks on that same line, Patrick Kane and Artemi Panarin. They have been having an unbelievable season. Not that you know, but what is the secret to stopping those guys? Or how about, do you have any ideas on how they could slow them down? Because, you know, Patrick Kane is just having one for the ages this year.
Yeah, they're special players, and they play really two similar styles. It's basically get the puck out of your own zone and skate as quick as you can, but they know how to dominate the blue line. That's what's so important to puck possession. You're able to dance across that blue line. Only a handful of players can do that, and two of them are on the Chicago Blackhawks. So you look at their defense, like Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Nicholas Jalmerson, guys who can provide offense in those high-tempo situations like the postseason, and then they feed the puck up to that top line of Panarin, Anisimov, and Kane. There's nothing you can really do for the Blues. You got to keep them to the outside, though. You can't have them get any open looks in front. Patrick Kane had a goal against St. Louis, I believe, in January or December, where he just had a walk-in, and what are you going to do? It doesn't matter if you got Jake Allen or Brian Elliott in net. The guy who has 106 points on the season, he's going to cash in. And Panarin, he's the second leading rookie scorer. Steve Larmer is the only guy in Blackhawks history that had more points than Panarin in his first season.
And you talk about keeping, you know, those two away from the front of the net, getting them in places where they're more uncomfortable. How do you do that, like, actually, though? What do the Blues defensemen have to do to keep those two away from the front of the net? And can you stand them up at the blue line, or is that just, are 72 and 88 just a little too good?
I mean, you're not going to get them every single time at the blue line. They're going to make you look silly ever once or twice. It's just, again, it's just you have to flip a coin whenever they skate over the blue line. But guys like Colton Parayko, guys like Joel Edmondson, they're big guys, but they're also versatile. They're not stand-up guys like Zdeno Chara, who's aged a bit and he's not able to go side to side. Alex Pietrangelo is also a guy. That's why I believe the Blues have such a good defensive core, because they're so mobile and they're so dangerous two-way that I think they can stop Panarin and Kane if, like I said, they keep them out of the ozone, because that's the best way for a defense to succeed.
Talking with Christian Simonetta, he writes for Last Word on Sports about the St. Louis Blues. And looking at this, since you cover the Blues, what is the biggest flaw you see in the Hawks game that the Blues can exploit?
It's got to be simply their defense, as opposed to the 2014 series where they had Duncan Keith, Brandon Saad, Patrick Sharp, guys who were also forwards, not Duncan Keith, of course, but forwards who played defense and played defense well. Now I don't really see that. You have guys like Victor Svedberg, Michael Roosevelt, who I've never been a big fan of in the defenseman by a long shot. Christian Ehrhoff is a guy the Hawks acquired at the trade deadline who I hope they utilize more. They haven't done so yet. It's basically the exact game plan as the Blackhawks towards the Blues. You have to get shots on net as quick as you possibly can, and you have to capitalize. The flaw of the Chicago Blackhawks is their defense, but you still have to get past Corey Crawford.
And I know you're really connected with that St. Louis Blues fan base, and there's a good number of those fans down here in Champaign, but you're more connected to them on, you know, the old interwebs with Twitter, and I see you interacting with them all the time. This is a fan base that is hungry, and I would probably say angry with their team, because, as you mentioned, they're really good from October until April, and then the postseason comes, and I don't have a better phrase for other than crap hits the fan. You know, things don't
wet
go
the
well.
Bed.
Yeah, they wet the bed. Things don't go well for them when postseason time comes. Can you just talk a little bit about how much this series means to the St. Louis Blues as a team, and specifically that St. Louis Blues fan base?
It's probably the most important series in the past 10 years of this team, because if they get bounced for the fourth straight year in the first round, we will see a huge overhaul. And that comes from new owner Tom Stillman. He will clean house. It doesn't matter if it's Coach Ken Hitchcock behind the bench, who was lucky to get a contract extension after the Blues were bounced by the Wild in six games last year, but also GM Doug Armstrong, because he is bringing in these players And it doesn't matter how Hitch coaches these guys if he preaches this grinding style as opposed to the wide-open offense that Joel Quenneville has implored to get 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. It is so monumental for the Blues to get out of the first round, but also beyond that and get that first Stanley Cup since 1967. They haven't even been to a cup final since 1970 when they were swept by the Montreal Canadiens.
And you mentioned that grinding style. Is that something that, lack of a better word, grinds on the players so much during a regular season that come playoff time, you just kind of run out of gas?
I don't know if it's that exactly. I compare it as to an outdated style of playing hockey, to be honest with you. Ken Hitchcock, he's the third most winningest coach in NHL history behind Al Arbour and, of course, Joel Quenneville, for good reason, because he knows how to play against superstar players, and that's a hitting style. Daryl Sutter also implements this style with the Los Angeles Kings. He's won 2 cups, but he also had guys like Marian Gaborik, Andre Kopitar, Dustin Brown, Tyler Toffoli, 30-plus goal scorers, and the Blues have one in Vladimir Tarasenko. It's a bit of a mixture now between that grind and dump and chase style with that wide-open offense with Tarasenko, Fabry, Jaden Schwartz as well. I'm not sure if that's their downfall in terms of their fatigue factor. I just think that it's not going to hold up in a 7-game series.
And you just mentioned a guy that I want to talk about. We talked a lot about Kane and Panarin, but Vladimir Tarasenko for the Blues is that level good. I just looked it up, 74 points this season in 80 games. He's got one of the most lethal shots in the NHL. Talk a little bit about what makes him so good and what Blackhawks fans should look at when they see 91 on the ice, and maybe how do you slow that guy down?
Well, make sure he doesn't have the puck. As soon as he has the puck, it sounds very, very easy to do. If he's got the puck on his stick, he knows how to release it in a split second. He reminds me of Alex Ovechkin a lot, but St. Louis Blues fans, he reminds me a lot of Brett Hall, because he can find that open space in the top of the slot and beat goalies out from past the circles. You don't really see that in today's NHL. Alex Ovechkin hit 50 goals, a hat trick against St. Louis on April 9th to get his 7th 50-goal season in his career. Tarasenko's that next evolving talent. He had 36 goals, I believe, last year. Bumps it up to 40. The sky's the limit for this guy, and he is the only way that the Blues are going to get past Chicago is if he puts up goals when they matter. Doesn't matter how many. It matters in the timeliness of when he can pot them.
Talking with Cristiano. I can't even say his name.
Hey, it's okay.
Cristiano's. It's one of those days where all I kind of slow today. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Cristiano Simonetta is here with us. Talking Blues and Hawks preview. What were you going to say, Dan?
No, I was going to say we're also learning a lot, because in order for the Blackhawks to win, they can't get exploited on defense, meaning maybe we should just go pick up John Scott or something. He's an all-star,
yeah.
Right? Just bring him right on back. Is that what you're saying, Cristiano?
You know what? They had him a couple of years ago, and you let that guy go, and he turns into an all-star.
Right?
One of Stan Bowman's worst moves in his entire GM tenure.
Maybe only that and Brian Bickler's two mistakes ever in Chicago.
Got a few minutes left here. Your prediction for this series, if you can make one.
It's tough, but I'm a St. Louis Blues fan at heart. My family has had Blackhawks season tickets since 1982.
What happened with you?
They say that I got dropped on my head as a kid. That's
there
the joke.
Go.
But I gotta say Blues in 7. I think this is a team that can get past
the Hawks.
That's what
I've heard too. It's either Hawks in 6 or Blues in 7.
And it all comes down to those first two games, to be honest with you. Because if the Blues take those first two in the Scottrade Center, it doesn't matter to me. Because that's what they did in 2013.
Right.
They lost 4 straight. You have to take a game from Chicago in the United Center, which is something that not many teams have been able to do, the LA Kings excluded.
Well, Christian, I really appreciate the time. Thanks for jumping on. And as this series rolls on, we look forward to having you back on.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very welcome to take Kevin's job a bit more.
Please do. That is Cristiano Simonetta. He's the voice of Illini Hockey and writes for Last Word on Sports. You can catch all his work there covering the Blues. He is at @CMS_74_. The only Twitter I've ever heard of with an underscore at the end, so I like it.
It was based off of TJ Oshie's number. He was my favorite player when he got drafted in 06, and I thought, you know what? CMS74 was taken, because CMS, obviously, my initials. I'm going to be like a 6th grader and put underscores on opposite sides. And I had to stick with it.
Love it. So that is Cristiano Simonetta.